I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So no one told you life was going to be this way. It's VGC, a video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, Aaron Bain, and Pete Donaldson. This week we've got layoffs at Bungie, the new PS5 is in the wild, and we know a tiny bit more about Marvel's Wolverine. But first, Aaron, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I just finished Spider-Man 2 last night. Three trophies away from the platinum. I'm getting there.
What are the trophies you've got left?
One of them's to visit Aunt May's
grave. God rest her.
There's another one that I probably messed up about doing symbiote powers within a certain amount of time. And then the other one's Spider-Bots, I think. So I'm like...
Oh, yeah. If you want to find out where all the Spider-Bots are, we've got a great guide on VGC if you want to go and check them out. Every neighbourhood covered.
I've not played a lot of the new Spider-Man game, but I imagine visiting a grave is the easiest of those. that one sounds a lot easier.
I thought I would leave that one to last.
Right, you know, okay, good.
Make it easy for myself.
Yeah. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good, yeah, all good. Dog may go crazy at any moment because he's in the room with me, but I've given him a big juicy bone, like a proper comedy 1980s bone that's the size of my head, and he's very into that at the moment.
Happy boy.
So he's a happy boy.
You might as well just put a pie on the windowsill and let him float over there on the nostril.
On the smell, yeah.
This morning when Plumbergate continued and the third plumber turned up, both of the dogs went absolutely batshit. And then once the plumber was away, the larger dog, Ren, had to go into every room and bark once just to make sure the house was cleared.
Yeah. Security patrol. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Although if she actually got anywhere near the plumber, she would just like curry into him and get a bit of a clap. Like not a vengeful bone in her body. The other one's an XL bully, unfortunately. Before we get started this week, quick plug, we are giving away two copies of A Handheld History, I think.
A Handheld History, a history of hands. I'm just filling while Jordan grabs the book.
If you're a video watcher as opposed to an audio listener, you can see in my hand I have a copy of A Handheld History by the folks at Lost and Cult. They sent two of them over, and they're going to listeners of this very podcast.
Are you posting these yourself?
I'm posting these.
Jordan, that's going above and beyond.
I do it for the listeners, for the people. I did it for The Rock.
He's tearing up.
UK only, because I'm not
UK
sending
only,
these to
yeah,
Europe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you will find out later in the podcast how to win A Handheld History. Hmm. Let's get started with story number one. Spider-Man 2 creative director confirms Wolverine exists in the same universe. Brian Intihar was speaking on Kinda Funny Games, Friends of the Show, and said, quote, "They're all 1048 when asked by host Greg Miller if the upcoming Wolverine game and current Spider-Man titles exist in the same version of the Marvel Universe. 1048 refers to this revision of the Marvel Universe. People not au fait with Marvel. This is the reason why there can be five Peter Parker comics happening at the same time, because they're all different universes. He's Universe 2 and he's Universe 1048. This is them basically saying that this Wolverine game, the Spider-Man game, exists together. Aaron, does it surprise you? Two, does it tickle your fancy? Because that's got a mixed reaction on X.
I don't give a shit, to be honest.
I don't think anyone does.
It's kind of expected, but like, surely the two games are completely unconnected, other than the fact that they support, like, I'm expecting one little thing in a side mission where you hear like, oh, the web swinging guy from New York, that's going to be it. Like, because surely Wolverine's not going to go anywhere near New York, is he? Is he? I don't feel like I know enough about Wolverine outside of the movies to...
Where's it set? Really... Paris. I don't know where's it set.
Well, this is the thing. Like the clip from it was in some kind of dive bar kind of place. So, but the whole point of Wolverine is they have built in story reasons why he can be like the Eternal. Essentially, he can go through all these different time periods. So, I think it is just them getting their ducks in a row so that they don't have all these different disparate references going on at the same time. Because, as you mentioned pre-podcast, Aaron, you've finished Spider-Man 2 now. Without saying anything, they're very much getting to the point where they're expanding into the larger kind of universe around us. So I think it's just it's admin more than anything.
I mean,
are you sick of multiverses? Do you just want us to stay in one universe? One universe means one universe.
Yeah, I just think it's all very convenient when it comes to exposition, where you sort of go, "Oh, it's something different. This is actually something different." It's like you just didn't take the Polaroid to make sure that the costumes are the same in the different places. I think it'd be more interesting if they said that it shared the Ally McBeal universe. You know, like none of this is a surprise. As a non-Marvel watcher, like, I don't know what all of this is. I don't know what shared universe is. I watched this the cartoon Spider-Verse thing, and that was very good. But my interest in how the fabric of the stories kind of intertwine is very limited, unfortunately. But good on them for settling everyone down or exciting them. Delete as appropriate.
It feels like a question that they knew they were going to get asked by nerds, so they just had to make a decision one way or the other. I don't think put it in the same one. We can always split it whenever we want. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. Lazy.
They were also asked why Marvel's Spider-Man 2 doesn't feature any Wolverine references. Although that isn't technically true. There is one, but it's not really a reference. It's more of a... in fact, I won't say it. There was a decision not to do it. I think for us, we wanted to let the team cook, and who knows what the future holds. But right now, let them do their thing, which I think is fair enough in terms of not kind of shoehorning them into any expectations about what this Wolverine is going to be. Aaron, the only thing I care about is that this Wolverine game is an 18 and is a bloody mess.
It has to be. Like, if it isn't, I'm going to be really, really disappointed, because that is the one thing that I'm like really looking forward to, is the Insomniac formula that I get to slash people to bits. I want to see limbs going. You know, it's the same thing with like why the Star Wars games have a slight bit of like, it's a little bit disappointing, because I want to decapitate a stormtrooper. Let me do something like that in Wolverine. So
you don't want it to just be that like charred edge, the limbs that they have.
What's
to do?
What's the reason going to be there?
Yeah, that's Disney brand Bible stuff. I like it. They're like, Wolverine's claws are so warm that when he slices people, it actually cauterizes the wounds.
It
slices through the blood cells.
They either do that, or they do, the people you're fighting aren't humans. They're like.
Yeah, that's the go-to cop out.
Green-blooded people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Surely you've got to go for it with this one. Because Wolverine naturally is a bit more of a like hardcore character in terms of the violence. Although they've got away with it with the movies. But most people's favorite when you talk about that character on their own. Part of why they like Logan so much, because it was violence that met the level of the character. Whereas they're just PG-13 in it.
I think Insomniac Insomniac obviously want to do it. The last conversation I had about this game was it was very much, we want to do it, will Disney let us? And I feel like after Spider-Man 2, they can be like, come on. It's like the fastest selling PlayStation Studios game ever. Give us a chance to do it.
It would sell. We'll it would still sell.
Oh yeah, it would do brilliantly. Like,
it's different to the movie side of things, though, isn't it? Like 18, you know, really violent video games do sell, and it doesn't. It, you know, and also people just buy really violent video games for their kids anyway, and they don't really care about what it actually says on the box. There's no boxes anymore. Where are you going to see the? Where are you going to see the 18?
And you don't. There's no stories to. There's no Daily Mail stories anymore about violent video games. Like the new Call of Duty could have you line up like 10 children and shoot them in the head, and it would get like a footnote on the Daily Mail website. Whereas back in the days of No Russian, it was like everything.
Yeah.
Everything in the media landscape was turned towards when Call of Duty was coming out.
Yeah. No.
So I hope it's an 18, but that'll be. Interesting to see. We speculate about Wolverine and future Spider-Mans on our Spider-Man 2 spoiler cast, which is available on all platforms. Story number two, Capcom says it has a major unannounced title planned before March 24. That's according to a Japanese Q&A section published alongside the company's latest earnings results this week, in which it mentioned the unannounced title in relation to how it intends to reach its year-end sales targets. Considering its aspirations for the unannounced game, it's possible that it's related to one of Capcom's two biggest franchises, Resident Evil or Monster Hunter. It's also possible, since there are few major industry events left before March 24, that it could be announced during the Game Awards in December. Aidan Bain, I would put £20 that this is Monster Hunter World 2 and it gets announced at the Keighley's. What do you think?
I have never touched the Monster Hunter series. I have no idea. Like, it doesn't really look like my kind of thing, but I was thinking if you were to spin a wheel on which one it was going to be, Monster Hunter's been a little bit longer, has it not? Because it was, oh, yeah. Rise.
It's due, and it was in the Capcom leak. So it exists. Like, it's, people have just been waiting for them to go, okay, it's time.
Yeah, because...
Which makes me think that's why they're comfortable enough doing it, like, December to March, because that's a very short, like, announcement period. Mm. But I suppose... Pete, how long do games have to be announced before they come out these days? Do you think the days of years in advance?
I mean, the big titles, like your GTAs, they get 10 years. And <Yeah. laughs> everyone else is allowed 5. And I want to see more of this King Kong kind of 1 year in development kind of stuff. Because we get glitches and we get poorly patched games at launch anyway. Let's just lean into the mania. Let's lean into the craziness and just have that.
the thing is, though, like, Monster Hunter is such a big deal, and that Monster Hunter World was the one that got it out of the PSP doldrums. Monster Hunter used to be the game you would see all the Japanese teenagers playing on the PSP on the way to school, and they'd all connect to each other because it was kind of built for that. It was built
where
for.
Where did you go to school? I know. all those Osaka. Japanese. Osaka, right, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Just teenagers over there, mate. You don't need to specify. A lot of Japanese around here with their monster hunting.
None of them speak English. Yeah, the 2 years in Osaka and then a few more in Kyoto. But at that time, everyone was just talking Monster Hunter, this Monster Hunter,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But Monster Hunter
sounds like the only monster in the room is you, Jordan. To be quite frank, they're hunting
I often feel that way.
Well, they did an augmented reality game, didn't they, in September?
Yeah, Pokemon released, Go.
And they wanted to, and it was, I think for that kind of augmented reality thing, it was not a massive hit. But in the grand scheme of how much money one makes, it was a massive hit. Like, I think it made money, didn't it, John?
Yeah, it's Niantic has a problem in the fact that the first game they made is one of the most successful of all time, being Pokemon Go. So everything subsequently that hasn't been like the biggest, greatest. I mean, they made a Harry Potter game that failed. Like, doing that is quite impressive. But yeah, it seems like the Monster Hunter one seems to have done a bit better. But Monster Hunter World was the game that made it mainstream. That's the best-selling Monster Hunter game, as far as I'm aware. So a 2 is very much it's an easy sell at the Game Awards. I think it will probably be that. It seems too early
for Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil 4 was 9. Only, like, what, 7 months ago or something like that? Not even?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got the time to leave the next Resident Evil to late 2024 or early 2025, I think. Going by, like, how frequently they've been releasing them over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and, I mean, no one on earth wants a remake of Resident Evil 5, so I assume that it will be Resident Evil... Next one's 9, isn't it?
Wasn't
so
this the Evil... one that was just coming out about how it was the biggest budget of the series? Like, this was a story that just broke, like...
What, Resi 5?
No, 9.
Oh, 9, okay, yeah. Well, maybe, but I'm pretty sure it's Monster Hunter.
It will be, I think.
If it's not Monster Hunter, I will eat my hat on stage with Jeff Keighley, which will be easy to do, because getting on stage with Jeff Keighley seems like the easiest thing in the world, to be honest. Story number 3, Alan Wake's creative director wants to make a crazy, huge-budget, dark gothic fantasy game. Sam Lake has said in a new interview with GQ that he was asked if he would ever do anything else, and he said, quote, "Would I ever do anything else? Yeah, I'm still thinking that I will. There will be a time when I retire. It's just that this has all been so engaging." Then he was asked about what things he would like to do left. One was this crazy, huge-budget, dark gothic fantasy, which I haven't used for anything yet. Lake, real name, which I didn't know, Sami Antero Järvi, has served as the creative director at Remedy for decades, working on Max Payne, Alan Wake, Quantum Break, and Control. Famously, he provided the face for the in-game model of Max Payne, a face that he pulls whenever he gets the chance. But Aaron, as someone who has now completed 2023's Game of the Year, Alan Wake 2, how ready are you for a crazy, huge budget dark gothic fantasy?
I mean, dark gothic fantasy doesn't like the isn't quite what I like from, you know, like the Alan Wake side of things, but at the same time, let the man cook. He can make whatever he wants now. That game
is
phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. It easily will be my game of the year, I think. And if he's going for like crazy ideas, I don't know if they'll like get quite the same budget. I'm hesitant to say that they'll just get whatever budget they want for whatever idea they want, because I think Alan Wake still is, to a degree, you know, existing IP tying into other IP. So unless they do that in a way where you're like pulling in Control fans and Alan Wake fans, you know, already has a bit of a base, so it can afford to be a little bit risky. But if this is a brand new gothic fantasy thing, I don't know, there's a lot more risk involved there. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, I'd love to see whatever he wants to do. And I did think that Sam Lake wasn't a particularly Finnish name.
Yeah.
How famous do you have to be as a like video game designer to sort of just invent a new name? I mean, I guess he's probably thinking that, you know, that his Finnish name is kind of possibly difficult for people to
He didn't want to be called like Sam Jarvie by Americans for decades. Exactly, didn't want to explain that it's Harvey. Sam Lake is a quality name though. That's really punchy.
Alan Wake. Yeah, it's absolutely great stuff.
I agree. Let them do whatever they're officially in the category now of whatever they want to do. Like, Alan Wake 2 proves it. They can just do whatever they want. And the fact that, I mean, it's the next story up, but they've provided updates on Control 2 and Max Payne Remake, which are the next games. The Control 2 is in the proof of concept stage, meaning it's probably 3-4 years away at this point. Mm-hmm. And they're also making Max Payne 1 and 2 with Rockstar, combining both those games into one for one big remake. And on top of that, they have two other games. So, like, this is a nice story in the sense that people are like, yeah, let Sam Lake do whatever they want. But, Pete, does he ever actually get time to do this, considering how much they've got on their plate at the minute?
No, and I just worry. I think we'll find out how overworked Sam Lake is when his beautiful, thick hair starts to thin out a little bit. That man is 53 years young, and his hair is absolutely top class. I every time I see that guy, I just would love his hairline. You know where does peak? It's just so strong and thick, and it looks like it can hold a whole jar of gel. It's just great stuff. But yeah, I mean, like, again, he'd need three different studios, I think, and he'd need to kind of like sort of plate spin on each one. But I mean, like, he's already making pretty high budget stuff, isn't he? Like, huge budget. You'd probably say that this Alan Wake 2 was a huge budget game, wouldn't you?
I suppose the big...
I think it's hard to say, but from the look of it, definitely.
I think as well, you've got to consider is whether this game will actually be a success or not. Like, critically, do we know how well it's selling, or how well it will over the Christmas period? Because that could be a big contributing factor. Just because it's good doesn't, you know, if someone's going to choose between Spider-Man and Alan Wake 2, they're going to choose Spider-Man most of the time.
And the fact that Alan Wake isn't in any shops. So and people going to,
yeah, so there you
like
go.
Your Smiths and stuff, there's no Alan Wake there to.
No Christmas on the gifts. Steam Deck either.
Yeah. Oh, God, no.
Yeah, so you've no Christmas gifts there or anything like that. And also, I do think it really does heavily rely on the fact that you know stuff about the first Alan Wake or whatever, you know, things like that. Whereas I feel like you could kind of play Spider-Man 2 just because you want to swing around the city.
He's Spider-Man.
He's reportedly friends with Wolverine. Was Control a big seller? Because, like, obviously Control was excellent and critically acclaimed. Was that a huge seller for what they'd outlived?
I don't think huge. I think it did okay. Searching Control sales is really not that helpful.
Very difficult. Well. Yeah.
it sold over 3 million copies, which is pretty decent for a game of that size.
Right.
They seem happy with it, but it's not a big, massive smash. I hope this one does better. I still think, in retrospect, that not doing a physical copy of a game that ended up with like 92 Metacritic was maybe a mistake. But we'll see. I can't wait to see this Max Payne remake. It's so interesting them doing this with Rockstar, because Rockstar seemed like such a company that wouldn't want to do a co-development deal or a co-collaboration because they are so tight-knit. Like, if there was anyone that I'd least expect to do that, it would be them.
Well, they're leaking their own stuff now. So, I mean, you'd start a Trustpilot outside your company if your own company couldn't keep little demos out of the hands of fans.
I never actually played the original two games of Max Payne, so I'm actually quite looking forward to that remake because I loved three. And because one and two were PS2 era, is that right?
Yeah, they're older.
See, I wasn't allowed to play games like that back then.
Well, I remember it was kind of tied in with the 3D Mark kind of. Were they sort of involved with 3D Mark's one of their little sort of graphical kind of tests? I seem to recall Max Payne 1 coming out at the same time as the Matrix demo on 3D Mark, and in my head I always kind of mix those two things together, that it came out of a tech demo, the whole bullet time stuff, but I'm probably just misremembering that.
That stuff was really like technically impressive back then, and then three was a really cool game, but it seemed that it didn't quite,
it was a romp, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a romp. It was a slow motion romp. I just remember the bit where you're like fighting through it's like a fake version of the Maracanã Stadium. That was a really good...
That was beautifully put together. And why don't we fight through more football stadiums with video games? It's perfect. Massive kind of like, you know, you got the pitch itself, you got underground car parks. Video games love underground car parks.
Yeah. Especially, see the way that Tottenham Stadium's constructed, where there's all those chambers like underneath it, where you can like store the pitch. Like, ideal. That'd be perfect. but sadly... not will be fighting through Celtic Park with a green brigade soon enough. Next story, and what continues to be a crap year for people that make video games, Bungie's layoffs reportedly amount to around 100 staff. It was confirmed on Monday that Bungie was the latest Sony Interactive Entertainment studio to be hit with layoffs, though the scope of the job cuts wasn't clear at that time. Bloomberg is now reporting that staff were warned in a meeting earlier this month that revenue was running at around 45% below what was being projected, which Chief Executive Officer Pete Parsons reportedly attributed to poor player retention for Destiny 2. It claimed that staff were told that the game's next expansion, The Final Shape, was being delayed from February 24 to June to give staff more time to improve it. Parsons also said... is also said to have told staff that salary and hiring freezes would be taking place, but 2 weeks later on Monday, around 100 staff were then told they would be laid off. Forbes writer Paul Tassi tweeted that the more information he'd received from a source, including claims that many employee benefits lasted until the end of the month, meaning that because staff were laid off on October 30th, their benefits lasted 1 day. This
The video game industry, so ladies and gentlemen. Typically video game industry, isn't it?
Yeah. This was later corroborated by Bloomberg's report, which also noted that healthcare was a separate benefit and will still be available for the next 3 months to those who were let go. Pete, the video game industry seems to never be better in terms of the quality of games. Why is job safety such a bad thing?
I think because CEOs and financial officers project way too hard, I would say.
Yeah.
And money is quite expensive to lend these days, and COVID and everything. You know, we, as an owner of a company, I am an owner of a company, I guess, a couple, but I think you have to be realistic with your projections, and you have to, you know, feather your nest accordingly. So if you're projecting that a video game, is going to be this popular, then perhaps the failure is in you rather than the actual people who make the product itself. One would suggest, anyway.
Yes. Aaron, I often wonder about these companies that rely so heavily on one game. Like, Destiny 2 is Bungie's only thing. Was this kind of inevitable or like a dangerous strategy? What do you think?
I suppose it's the thing with like a game like Destiny, it's always going to have highs and lows, because I mean that's been the same thing throughout the entire run of Destiny. And Destiny 2, we had I was speaking to someone about it just earlier this morning about how things weren't looking good for it, you know, a few years ago, but then they implemented so many things that like the players were asking for, and then Forsaken came out and it was like story wise everyone liked that one, and then it was back up to like high players, and now right now we're in the low where Lightfall didn't quite hit the same. And it is an awkward one with these kind of games, because it's so difficult as well now for like players to stay or get into Destiny. So really the only thing that can really happen is either the old players come back or people slowly trickle out of it. And I think having that in a lower kind of quality is only going to lead to that. And it's been a kind of horrible thing to read, because I've been a huge fan of Destiny basically in its entire run. And seeing like them even fire people like Michael Salvatore, who's like the guy that done some of the best video game music ever, through this game.
He was the co-composer of the like, come on.
I mean, literally 20% of the fun of Destiny is the music. It's so good. And then to fire someone like that, not only that, just like right at the end, you know, the final shape, which is the one that was delayed, it's supposed to be like the big culmination of 10 years of this. I say storytelling kind of lightly, because like the light and darkness thing is a bit of a piss take in some ways, but yeah, it's rough. And I didn't like as well that there was a bit of like, it was like cloak and dagger of like, whose fault was this? Is this a Sony thing? Have Sony bought them in and then gutted them? Or is this a Bungie thing and they're just clearing out their own staff? And I think you're right, people saying like projections are just too high for things like this. I think they expect things to just be, we're going to throw another season at it, we're going to throw another big expansion, and people are going to play it and buy our stuff. Mm. But like, that isn't always the case, especially when you have so, I mean, like 2023 in particular, you've got so many like high-rating games that'll be pulling people away from, you know, part of the reason I don't play Destiny all the time, or a game like Apex Legends, for example, because I was like, you know, I actually would quite like to play something else. I don't want to just play this game all the time. And when you're getting like 10 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s, 8 out of 10s coming out every other week, which has been the case for the last few months, people are going to want to move away from a game like Destiny, which is staying relatively the same over like a 6-month period.
It makes me wonder if during the pandemic, when people were forced to like basically take up one of these games as like a social space, that all these executives were like, this is going to last forever.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be locked in their houses forever. Mm-hmm. And now that we're getting back into a more traditional cadence with big games, that they seem to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think it's going to, it's the same in like our industry as well as like actual development, where there's like the effects of COVID. There was such a big boom for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, everyone's reading guides. Everyone's reading reviews. Everyone's looking at gameplay videos, because no one's getting anything to do. They're sitting in the house. And then like that all starts to just come down. It's only natural that it would after something like that. So I think there probably have been a lot of people that thought, no, this is the breakthrough point for video games. Like, it's already big, but now it's on the up and up, and it just isn't really the case.
Nope. People are out living their lives. All the markets have crashed. No one wants video games. No one wants shitty podcasts. Am I right, Pete?
Nobody wants them. Nobody needs them. There's too many of them.
Far too many podcasts. The amount of podcasts that get advertised alongside this podcast, I'm like, you've made that up. There's no way.
That doesn't 800 exist.
800 episodes of this. The only podcasts I listen to are this one and the Luke and Pete Show. Isn't that right, Pete?
You're telling me you don't listen to my old film podcast that had like 80 episodes? Now you never listened to that one?
I famously don't like films.
I forgot about that.
Listen to a podcast about them.
The man with a film degree doesn't like the same film degree as me.
If anyone's qualified to not like them, it's me. I've studied them.
I've watched loads of them, not a fan.
No, not into it.
After
simply
four
not into
years,
it,
I decided I just don't like them.
Yeah. Oh, mate, if I hadn't, I had the revelation well before the 4-year period. That's why I started making FIFA videos that led me on this path to be a games journalist. Mm. I have a small, I meant to talk about this during the Alan Wake section, but I've got a grievance, right?
Mm.
So I bought some clothing from Makia, the Finnish clothing brand that has done a collaboration with Alan Wake. First of all, I had to buy €200 worth of clothes for them to ship to the UK. Thankfully, I did a deal with some lovely listeners from this podcast. They bought some stuff and they gave me the money. So we did like a package deal. Then the other night.
More trips to the post office for you, Jordan. You got God, I know. Good God.
Me and my partner were enjoying a lovely evening of WWE Live, and I receive an email which reads, your DHL package has some customs on it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I was expecting this. I didn't pay VAT in Finland. I expected this. Mm. £193. £193. So I'm sitting there.
Brexit means Brexit, sweat, baby.
Sweat pissing off me. And I'm like, and I'm sitting with like websites trying to calculate it. And I'm like, okay, this is definitely wrong. The next day I get an email being like, oh, we were wrong. It was £70. And I'm like, okay, right. That's
still
fine.
Still chunky.
They've tricked you there, I think. I think they're like, start them with the 180 and then bring them down to the 70 and you'll happily pay it.
So VAT in Finland is 25%. So 25% of 200 and then plus like some other wee bits and pieces. I was like, okay, this is fine. But yeah, that was a scary moment. I was trying to enjoy Io Sky versus Charlotte at WWE Live. And WWE Live was good, right? Thank you.
Because you were worried about which stars are going to be in Glasgow at the Hydro and which stars are going to be in Berlin doing the show over there.
The German tour had a much better lineup, but I shan't complain because the tickets were very kindly provided. But so we got Drew McIntyre. Everyone was happy about that because we were in Scotland.
Imagine if he did Germany. No, imagine though. That would have been a real F you.
But the... that he came out and said, well, I'm going to boot your boss, and everyone was like, way!
recent Glasgow Twitter on a bit of paper.
We got Io Sky versus Charlotte, which was a very good match, two excellent performers. Mm. But the main event of LA Knight versus Solo Sokoa, we left to beat the traffic, let's put it that way. Because LA Knight got a reaction like he was the fucking Rock coming out. Mm. Like, people were so into LA Knight. I appreciated that. But the rest of the tour was, the rest of the lineup was not the...
No.
Was not
who got strongest. Who got Asuka? Because she was on some of the posters.
Oh, we didn't get Asuka. Rey Mysterio was on the poster, didn't appear. Asuka was on the poster, didn't appear. The Usos were on the poster, didn't appear. card subject to change.
Yeah, nice.
It was funny because the section we were sitting in, you know, ICW, the Glasgow-based promotion, all those boys were sitting behind us, so we were clearly in like the friends and family section because it was just like all these burly wrestlers sitting behind us watching Pretty Deadly. when we come back, I'm going to tell you how to win this lovely copy of A Handheld History. We'll see you in a minute.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we are back. If you would like to win a copy of Handheld History, I have two to give away. UK only.
Mm-hmm.
You have to email podcast@videogameschronicle.com. Make the subject Handheld History. And just tell me your favourite handheld. Aidan, what's your favourite handheld? And I'll look it up in this lovely book.
I remember quite vividly getting my DS Lite when for Christmas 1 year, the white one. I remember being very excited that I played that for a ridiculous amount of time on the day. Super Mario Bros. Had just come out, the new Super Mario Bros.
This is lovely for video watchers. They have really high quality images of all the revisions of the DS in here.
Oh, nice.
Which I would just like to sit and paw through.
I really like the classic white look with the gloss on it and the two little squares. I quite like that.
It was tidy, wasn't it? It was a really nice, tidy design.
Yeah. I remember going to school. You had a... Did you guys get, like, golden time in school on a Friday?
Golden time? In primary school. What is golden? I'm so old. What is golden, golden time? You just got to do whatever you want.
Yeah, so golden time was, like, I want to say maybe half an hour at the end of a Friday, where it was just, like... Go have fun and talk.
Free for all.
Yeah, yeah. But everyone would go on their, get their DS out and like go on PictoChat and just be sitting like drawing things on PictoChat for like half an hour and almost like, you know, you get the occasional dick in there, but keep in mind, we're young people at this point. So most of the time it's like just coloring the whole thing in black. That was like a thing. So you just have like, 10 people sitting like scribbling on their DS Lite, hoping to cover every inch of that little touchscreen. But it was the good days, you know, when life was simpler.
Yeah, when you couldn't play Max Payne. But
no, when I couldn't play Max Payne.
I need to retell the story that was being told on this podcast of when PictoChat was getting rolled out at E3 and a journalist who will remain nameless drew a big cock on the PictoChat at E3, only to find out that it was being projected over his head.
Yes.
And sitting there watching was... the father of video games, Shigeru Miyamoto.
Yes, he's got a willy, probably. Yeah. So, I mean, no. So we can only assume that he'd seen one before.
So, just looks up at the PictoChat screen, goes relatable. Yeah, I get you.
To be fair, like, I've been in Japan a few times. I mean, that is very much their sense of humour.
Oh yeah,
they love bums, they love poo, they love willies.
Just make sure they're blurred out.
Is the Game Park 32 in the book? Probably not. It was like an unlovable sort of Korean, I think, game system, the GP32, and the games came on little kind of you know, like before SD cards, there was like thick lads that were like really big ones. But then there was like really thin ones that they were like the thinness of a small bit of cardboard. That's what the games used to come on. And there was about 5 box titles. The screen wasn't backlit. It was a load of rubbish, but people used to put emulators on it. And that was very much, I remember playing through a few graphic adventures on it.
What's the name again?
Scum Engine. Game Park 32.
Game Park.
It probably wasn't. It wasn't really a big deal. It wasn't really. It was very much.
They've got a lot of absolute nothings here. So.
It was an enthusiast's one, the GP32. Every time I go looking for a legacy USB cable from a big box I've got, I always see it at the bottom, and I was like, I wonder if that's worth any money. And you go on eBay, and it's not worth anything.
I mean, they've got the Mega Duck in here. So.
The Mega Duck. Wow.
There's every chance that they have, but. Yes, if you the N-Gage. What a machine. They need to bring it back.
N-Gage, yeah.
The Game King, that's what they call me. If you'd like to win one of two, please participate in this fabulous contest. UK only. I will not send this to parts unknown. Next story. Setup images confirm the PlayStation 5's disk drive requires an online pairing. This is a follow-up from our story from last week or a couple of weeks ago, or God knows when, because the new PS5 model can have a detachable disk drive, it has to be paired, much like a controller does, with a little bit of firmware. This isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is, have you seen the images of this new PlayStation 5?
Yeah.
Have you seen the way this looks when compared to a normal PlayStation 5? Because good God, does it look like a knockoff that you would find in the Barras. Aaron, what do you think about this horrible little machine?
I'm surprised. I didn't think it was too bad, to be honest. I think, I mean, like, size is the main thing here. I mean, looking at that, the PS5...
That's what I've heard.
The PS5 is, like, too big for most people, I think. You know, when you're talking, I'm feeling like I'm going into...
Is this improving things, though?
Too big for cowards. Too big for cowards.
Make that the centerpiece of your living room, not your TV.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I'm not always like a massive... Speaking about how nice the glossy DS looked, I don't think it looks the best in the console. I like the matte finish of the PS5. And the sort of like accentuated disc drive coming out of the side is a little bit... I'm not 100% on it. There are elements of the design that I think are confusing to the, as in why I know why, but why did they do the design where they had to have a new, different kind of stand? And not only that, two different kinds of stands as well that you have to buy. It's complete bullshit, I think. It's just another way for people like, oh, you want this to stand vertically like almost everyone does. And if you don't, I find it weird. I don't like horizontal PS5 people. It freaks me out a little bit. But if you're if you're a vertical, like that's how I say most people have it. Oh, well, that's £30 extra. I think the only thing going in their favor there is really the fact that it's the same price. But to talk quickly about that connection with the disc drive, I mean, it's annoying, I suppose, but I don't think it's like the thing everyone.
I don't think
out.
Anyone will notice.
No, because like, it's like people are like, I've seen people in the comments on our channel saying like, that's it, it's a pass. I'm not buying this. I'm like,
yeah.
How are you commenting?
What were you planning on doing on it?
Yeah. Like how are you commenting on this video without internet connection? You know, and something like that is going to be, if you don't even have access to internet or you've got your mobile or whatever, you can probably hotspot it for like 5 minutes. To update this, because I'm going to imagine it's not going to be like a 5 gig download, is it? It's going to be like 100
megabytes. Yeah. You're not downloading Warzone onto your disk drive. Like,
I remember when Half-Life 2 first came out, and that had to phone home, and that was quite controversial, I think, back in the day. And so I remember taking my hard drive out of my computer at home, taking it into work, and sort of opening up. I don't know why I was allowed to do this. People just let me get on with it, working for a local government quango. A housing authority in Victoria, and I just had my computer open, and I was making Half-Life 2 via Steam call to the Steam network just so I could get ratified so I could take it back home just to make it work. Very bizarre times. Weird.
Usually this is a situation. I was hoping that the Slim would look okay, because I'm always conscious of the fact that it's been about 3 years now since I've had my PS5. It's been on every day. It's been on for hundreds of hours. My PS5 will die far quicker than the average Joe's. And if it was to be replaced, it would likely be replaced by a Slim. But that's just not into it.
My PlayStation 5 has only just started making sound when it. I think I just need to clear out the vents. But I was thinking if I managed to get my hands on a Slim, that'd happily become my main one. Also, my PS5 is just sitting on my desk. It takes up hundreds of space. That 30% reduction in size, mate, I'm there for it.
That's why I've got two desks. I've got a desk that has my consoles and my laptops and my hardcore drugs on the side, and I've just got my clean one here that has cans of Monster and packets of Sudafed. God bless.
Yeah,
not sponsored.
It's more animal than man these days, Jordan. It's like a WWE cautionary tale. He's off his head on pseudoephedrine again.
Look, it makes the day go quicker. You've got to appreciate it.
Makes your heart go quicker.
Taking them with Monster's the real way to do it. Speaking of things that don't make my heart go quicker, Aaron, you had the unfortunate honour of playing Ubisoft's James Cameron's Avatar Frontier of Pandora. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us all about it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to start with a little bit of context of the fact that I'm a massive Avatar fan. And
the only.
Part of me feels like I have to defend myself when I do this, but at the same time, mate, I love a bit of sci-fi escapism. I was 13 when the first movie came out. It was just perfect time and place, and it stayed with me since. I enjoyed the second one. So I was really excited with this. I know a lot of people saw the trailer or whatever and went, Far Cry, but Avatar. I think that's completely fine. Because I think if you take the Far Cry games in isolation on their own, they're good games, right? They're not bad. They're not amazing. They're good games. But then you give it a setting that's cool, it looks nice, and has lore kind of elements to it. That elevates it to me, so that makes it a better game. And that was kind of what I got from this. And like aesthetically and audio-wise, I would say like they've nailed. It's so authentic to the movies. Because that was the first thing I was like, how authentic is this going to feel? And the demoist was setting me up. And I just put the headphones on and I listened to it for 30 seconds and immediately I was like, oh, this is Avatar. Like and that's what you want from a game like this. So I think some people will be quick to judge it and saying it's just Avatar and it's not going to push boundaries in any way. But I think if you're looking for, either as an Avatar fan, you're looking for something that's like ties into that Avatar fantasy in a video game form, you're going to love it. And if you're looking for an open world game with a cool sci-fi setting, you're probably going to like it as well, even if you're not like the biggest fan of Avatar. I think there's things to enjoy about it, but yeah, I liked it.
Is there a bit of signature music, you know, like Indiana Jones or Jurassic Park that kind of brings you in with Avatar being a
great question.
Fan?
Well, you know, I'm not really the kind of guy that would know a specific track, but to talk about a completely different event, I went to like one of those things in Glasgow where they play like movie stuff, and it was supposed to be primarily for Lord of the Rings, and they're playing it with a live orchestra. It just randomly, I didn't actually even know they were doing it, they played a bit of Avatar in it, and that was the best bit in the whole thing. I loved it. Right. I think the original score from James Horner, who sadly passed away and is no longer doing the score for the next movie, I mean, it's amazing in the first one. I think it really, really is good. And that was one of the things I said in my preview, was that like the score in particular, I don't know if they've like taken it straight from or it's something new for this, but it slotted in that way where like I didn't think, oh, this is Ubisoft trying to do an Avatar soundtrack. It just sounded like an Avatar soundtrack. So I would say there's a vibe to the music that kind of brings me in, I would say, rather than a singular track.
Right, okay. Interesting.
Kings of the Galaxy,
big tall blue boys. Do you not think that like because I think sometimes like video game tie-ins can just use that use the music, and that's half the struggle, isn't it? That's half like it's a really easy way of sort of dragging you in over and above, you know, the licensed faces and likenesses and stuff.
Well, I think that's kind of one of the things that makes this quite exciting, because I suppose in the same way that Hogwarts Legacy was like, oh, you get to explore this place that you like if you're a Harry Potter fan. It's kind of the same thing, because you're going into this world and it's like not necessarily like a setting, because it's set in a different region of Pandora, if you're interested in a little bit of the facts there. But it's not the same forest as the Avatar movies. It's but it has like that kind of, I don't know, that iconography of the films, where it's like those orange flower things that suck in when you go up to them, or the little spinning glowing lizards, or the...
Can you have hair sex?
Not in the demo, at least. But you do.
Gotta keep something.
You know, you do plug yourself into a couple of animals.
Hell yeah.
So it's there.
Now we're talking.
I think there's a video floating around Twitter about that sort of idea this week. Do you think that, like, I always start thinking with like tie-in games that are based on completely or almost entirely CGI experiences, since it's a licensed game, can they not just give them the actual 3D models, and then just, you know, there's the world, go reduce the polygons on this and just stick it in there?
I do wonder if the 3D models used for the film would be too much, if they would be like,
oh yeah, I mean, so, they would be, but I mean, surely you could procedurally just reduce them down to something you can work
with. Something
is Jake Sully in it, have they got whatever his name is, Sam Johnny Face, whatever that actor's name is?
No, they do not have my guy Sam Worthington in it, but it's set before like 15 years after or 10 years after the first movie, but before The Way of Water, which was the movie from last year. And because it's set a different place, I don't know how much it will really tie into the movies at all, other than it being the humans are back to conquer the forest. But yeah, I mean, I think it's got, for me as a big Avatar fan, it's got like, I still think it will cap out at something like an 8. I can imagine, because there are, like I'm saying, it's a fun game. The nostalgia factor for me is elevating it the same way, like I'm saying with Hogwarts. I'm sure Hogwarts had its scores inflated a little, just because people were like, I love Harry Potter. Like, how much do you like Harry Potter? That game, if you're not a Harry Potter fan, is actually fun.
Well, as someone who was afflicted by that exact issue, that's actually, you sold it a bit to me, because a lot of Hogwarts Legacy was, I've been wanting to play this game since I was about 5 years old, and actually explore this world with this music. It's playing on the stuff that Warner Brothers did, like, from, it's all the film iconography, so it's very evocative. Like, it's a very easy trick to do that, but it's an effective one. Like, it doesn't make it any, and it's legit.
And I think as well, when people were like, I think there's a big question over this game of like, who asked for it? Who wants it? Mate, these two movies made $5 billion at the box office. That doesn't, you don't get $5 billion at the box office without there being some kind of fan base. And like,
video game people are just a bit sniffy about Avatar. I've never really understood why.
Film people are sniffy about Avatar. Everyone's sniffy about Avatar.
The films are balls. Nah, that's why they're sniffy about it.
Nah,
blue balls.
Nah. No, I like them. I like them. I think it will be a good game. I can't see it really getting lower than like, I think it will be sevens. I think it will be sevens for a lot of people, to be honest. But unlike the majority of like people that read review scores, if I see a seven, I don't think, oh mate, that's a dead game. You know, that's still a decent game. But
presumably that's enough for the fan base. You know,
exactly. That's,
you're not expecting much more, are you?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You get a solid foundation, elevated by the material. And I think that was a thing. Combining the Far Cry formula, which people already like, because Far Cry games still sell, you know, whenever they come out.
I'm a big fan. Probably my favourite video game series of the last 20 years. I just play through them. I don't know why. Like collecting stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like they don't push boundaries, but people enjoy them. Like, you know, and that's, I think, part of the issue with that series is it's been kind of getting a little bit stale with the settings. That's why I actually liked 5 so much, because it was like, we'll do something different, we'll set it in America, whereas before it's like another tropical forest or whatever. And I suppose you could say that about this, but there's like the lore there that I think expands it. You know, like when you kill an animal in this one, you'll do your little, I see you, animal. I respect you as you go into the afterlife or whatever.
Yeah. Sorry for killing you, mate.
Because you know, it's like things like that that tie it into the universe that I really like. And also, it looks amazing. I mean, I was playing on PC. So what's the PS5 version going to look like? Console version going to look like? Don't know. But I thought it looked really, really nice, especially during the day. I thought the nighttime stuff, because obviously it's all bioluminescence, kind of let me down a little bit, but the daytime stuff looks amazing, because you just get the foliage is going crazy. Like, it's just everything alive, moving all the time. It's really, really cool. So, yeah, good game, mate. Just try it out.
Yeah,
I bet I will.
VGC is next 5 out of 5.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I really hope there's something else out that week that I'm reviewing instead, because that feels like it would go right in my wheelhouse. Only thing I've really been playing this week, City Skylines 2, which I've been enjoying. I've been I jump in two-footed without any tutorials, because I played a lot of City Skylines 1, and turns out my memory is not quite what it used to be. The town was a mess.
Sewage in the streets.
Exactly. So I was trying to connect the sewage and the water to the different plants, but it was just a spaghetti of pipes that wouldn't connect to each other. So poor people were getting like 5 sets of pipes, none of them interconnected, going past their house.
Sounds like your bath. Sounds like your house, John.
I know. Thankfully, it's only the bath that's the problem. Everything else is fine. I'm going to start showering in the sink. Yeah. But then I started a new town, and it's just really... It's a really enjoyable kind of numbers go up type of game, and they've done some interesting things where you can play it in a mode where not everything's unlocked from the jump, so as your town gets bigger, you basically go up a level, and it's like a skill tree almost, so you'll earn skills, and it'll be like, do you want to unlock a big hospital or a big police station? And it makes you build the town in a more sensible way, so you're not just immediately like, okay, let's do 10 high rises, and there's no shops, and there's no construction, there's no industry for anyone to work in. I'm playing it on basically one of the most powerful PCs on the market, and it still doesn't run very well, which is says a lot about, we spoke last week about the teeth men that are all over the town.
Is that the kind of level of stuff you need to think about when playing these games? Because I've always been intrigued but never got around to playing a game like that. So you're having to like organize whether there's shops for people to go to and stuff around the buildings,
kind of. So if you imagine it, if you built a grid with the roads, you then get like a paint kind of tool to paint either side of the road that would just be like green if you want it to be houses, blue if you want it to be shops,
right,
yellow if you want it to be industry, and you'll have a wee meter in the bottom that says you need more XYZ. It's really simple, like, stuff's really intuitive. But as your city gets bigger and there's more stuff to deal with, then you'll have to deal with crime and all this other stuff.
That's cool, actually.
It's really fun. And the way they've done expansion in this one is you just drag the map out and you'll see like all the squares around your original square, and you can just buy them and make your city bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
So I have natural disasters turned on, so I look forward to that impacting my poor little town sooner rather than later. You ever been into these playing God games, Pete? You've got a God complex, everyone knows.
I just want some control in my own life. So I remember, you know, I was a big SimCity guy back in the day. And I think I played the first Cities Skylines a little while ago. But I think I remember buying Air Train. You probably don't remember Air Train, but that was kind of like a Maxis.
What, Albert? Prince Albert?
Yeah, pretty much. I remember playing that quite a lot when I was a kid, even though I really wasn't into trains and stuff. I mean, they're very charming. They're the sort of games that you sort of go around someone's house and the uncle is pottering about on his PC back in the day. But that's why I think it's interesting that like a lot of these games, even like your civilizations and stuff, like they do take a heck of a lot out of your computer performance wise. So like these enthusiast level PCs are the only things that can run them half the time. But you would imagine that it's a much broader game than someone who would usually regard themselves as being a video game player. Because like, doesn't your dad only play one golf? He's got access to all of your Steam titles, but he only plays the golf game.
He could play any game he wants, but he plays Tiger Woods PGA. Whatever the 2K PGA with Tiger Woods is on the Xbox, and despite the fact that there's not a game in the world I couldn't get him, and he's like, nah, just keep playing there.
Yeah, but that's proper dad stuff, isn't it? So like, I always think of these games as dad games. They have one game and they play it every hour, every spare hour they've got.
Yeah, but it's good. I'll keep pottering away at it. I'm also in the midst of an early Football Manager save that's just it's not going well, it's just too much.
I presume you're managing your beloved Celtic, or
indeed it's going fine. It's just the first couple of months of a Football Manager save, you have so much admin to do before you can even actually play the game.
It's just just telling your assistant manager to take over everything. There's just so many, like, I know they have him put in options in the past where you just look after certain things. But even then, that you want to fine tune it and sort of go, look, I'm about half a season through a Vent for a Coffee J League 2 save. And I don't think we've lost or drawn a single match. And yet my football team don't respect me and have unified. They're playing so well because they are unifying against me, a common enemy. The word common enemy was listed as one of the reasons why they're playing so well. So, you know, get stuff, Fent Freckhoffer. Yeah. I'm doing my best, all right?
Is your manager from Hartlepool?
Oh, yeah, I'm Newcastle United fan. I'm from where I'm from. I'm a 5'8", a frog-bellied, ill-looking man. I am an atrocious wreck of a man, but I'm in a lovely part of Japan at the foot of Mount Fuji, having a lovely time. So I'm having fun. My team isn't.
There's a Scottish boy on TikTok who's recently moved to Japan that I follow, and he went to a game recently, and I couldn't believe the attendance for like not a minor, but like a kind of mid-table J League side. Like the place was absolutely pumping. Like it was as if like a Champions League final. It's just,
well, they've got like a lot of them have like flag sections where they just spend all their time just waving blooming flags and stuff.
We need to get the VGC podcast as a sponsor for a J League 2 side. I feel like we could pull that off. I feel like that wouldn't be. I'm shocked the Ramble sponsor hasn't ever been asked to like be a.
Oh, we've been asked. We can't afford it. We've been asked loads of times.
Oh, wait, do we need to pay them? I didn't realise that's how it worked.
That's how sponsors work, Jordan.
I see. Well, I'm afraid Yokohama F Marinos will have to go without for another season. I asked on X what your favourite video game movie tie-in was, because I was thinking about that Wolverine game. Let's get a few of the responses here. Chris Wall says Alien 3 on the Mega Drive. Never played it personally because I'm not an old ass man. James Troughton, though, with the real shit, Revenge of the Sith on the
PS2. That's a good one.
The pod racing stuff in those the pod racer game was good.
That was a bit, the pod racing arcade game that had the actual thing.
Oh,
the,
beautiful.
They had one of those in the Trocadero, God rest it, that was just incredible. They also had one downstairs in Hamleys on whatever London street that
they
is.
They did have a little game section down there for a little while, didn't they?
Now it's just, if you go down there now, it's like game, like the shop. It's all like, you want to buy Razer PC accessories, etc.
Really,
no, thank you.
Clacky mechanical keyboard for 20 quid over what you'd spend on Amazon. Yeah, brilliant.
Lots of shout for the Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay. I've seen that a lot of times, which it must be a banger. A good shout for the Toy Story 2 game and the Aladdin game. You can play Toy Story 2 on the PlayStation 5 if you pay the £1 million for PlayStation Plus Premium there. And of course, one that Pete has referenced, Peter Jackson's King Kong on the Xbox 360.
I was going to say, if it wasn't mentioned, that was one I was going to say. I love that game.
Very easy 1,000 achievement points on that.
Also, if there's none mentioning it, have to rep it. James Cameron's Avatar the Game on 360 and PS3. That was that's a pretty good one. You got to play as either the humans or the Avatar. It's pretty fun, I'm just saying.
You play as a colonizer. I mean, I suppose that's every Call of Duty game, so it's not really that that shocking.
That Blade Runner point and click was quite good back in the day. But you guys are not from a generation that had really terrible tie-ins. There was a level of performance that tie-ins had to have. Yeah. When you guys were in short trousers. But like, I'm from the generation of games like Give My Regards to Broad Street, a tie-in for a Paul McCartney biopic film that nobody watched. And it's just you driving around Mornington Crescent, you're driving around London, and then you do a bit of walking. There was so many. There were Alfie and Pet, not necessarily a film. There were tie-ins with that. One of my favourite games was Adrian Anderson, Edmondson post, post Young Ones and pre-Bottom. A Christmas book he released called How to Be a Complete Bastard, and you would just walk around a party and just try and get ejected from the party by blowing off, drinking bleach, killing animals, just being an absolute sociopath. Like the Spectrum sort of C64 bedroom coding era was just an era of just massive licensed games and terrible execution. There's so many bad ones. Cliffhanger.
Yeah, awful. I feel like we had some good ones in our day. Like it was, there was the Godfather game on.
Yeah,
I think it was PS2 and
Godfather
PS,
2, but all right.
On PSP was it as well? I seem to remember playing it in PSP.
The sequel was on 360 and it was actually decent. It was better than Mafia in my opinion.
The Lord of the Rings: Return of the King. That was a good one. That was a good one. Someone stole that from me in school. I lent it to a friend, who then brought it back, and the day that he gave it to me and I put it in my bag and someone stole it out of my bag. So I was always gutted about that.
I used to steal Pokemon cards in school.
doesn't surprise me.
Not lots, just once.
Just enough that you can get away with it.
Just enough.
Look, if you're going to leave your Shining Gyarados from Neo Discovery sitting on your desk when we all go down to the teacher to sit around her while she reads, I'm just going to slide that in my old pocket. Well, I can't even remember whose it was, so they can't legally prosecute me.
I think they could have a go.
Statute of limitations is probably...
Probably
about 22 years at this point now. So speaking of Lord of the Rings game, when I was speaking to your man Brett from Immortals of Avium, he made those Lord of the Rings games, and I was like, can we just talk for an hour about those games? And you could see the EA PR person getting nervous, like, we're not going to get our message across if you just talk about the Lord of the Rings games that no one can buy anymore anyway. Anyway, we will be back next week with Call of Duty. That campaign goes live tonight, so... we'll be seeing what that's all about. Shooting people, I expect. Lots of shooting people in the head, shooting people in the balls. Hopefully I'll have a working bath by next week. I know everyone's on tenterhooks. Once again, A Handheld History. Email podcast@videogameschronicle.com. Subject line, Handheld History, and tell me your favorite handheld. You can find us on YouTube, search VGC. You can find us on TikTok, VGC_news. I believe that is all. Aaron, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @AaronBain_ or on the Push Square YouTube channel.
Push Square. I've heard a lot about these little up and comers. You talk a lot about the PlayStation Portable. That's that, isn't it?
Aye. Big love.
Talk more about the PlayStation. If you search Push Square, your header is PS5, PSVR2, news and reviews. Where's PlayStation Vita in that?
You know, it's taking the back step. Once the fake Vita comes out, the portal, maybe
there's probably more people playing the PlayStation Vita now than there are the PSVR2. So
almost guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance. You know, there's still people out there. I'm about to do a video actually on the PSVR2 soon, because things are not great, in my opinion, anyway.
Oh, really? since when? Since launch?
Since the second it came out. we had that graceful like release window where like, there's so many games! And then since they've released exclusively a rubbish on-rails shooter and a really bad first-person tactical shooter. Now, I say first-person like they aren't all first-person or most of them anyway, but it's not been good. There's always hope for Arizona Sunshine comes out later this year. I think that could be fun. Not to turn this into a PSVR2 segment. Finish the show, Jordan. I'm just going to keep talking.
You dig your own grave, boyo. You can follow me on Twitter at Jordan Midler. Follow Pete at Pete Donaldson. Aaron, you can follow him around his house, which his address is 121 Falkirk Street. I don't actually know his address.
The poor man that lives at 121 Falkirk Street, if that is such a place.
He's going to be mobbed. don't follow Jordan around his house. He honks at the moment.
Just follow the smell if you want to find him.
Follow the smell. I wish he'd wash his handheld history. Tell you what.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Aaron.
Goodbye.
If you're going to the Scottish Game Awards tonight, you will see me in all my finery.
Yay.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The Dutch girl picked me. Me, not you. Holland loves Chandler. Thank you, Amsterdam. Good night.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.